In the dim glow of a flashlight Pop held at the doorway, Leo appeared like any one of the many shadows who come to our home in search of food. When he hugged me, his embrace lifting me off my bed, I inhaled a foreign scent of metal and damp wood instead of his familiar musk aroma of farm chores. His arms squeezed thinly around my back, unshaven whiskers, like beard stubble on a grown-up Pop, bristled upon my cheek with his kisses. Yet when he spoke, "My Kenny, I've thought of you every day, how much I've missed you." It was his tender voice I absorbed, warm from the depths of his lungs, returning me to my earliest memories of him and every word he had spoken all my days. The same confident voice that had said goodbye over a year ago, leaving Mom devastated, the rest of us off on our own, now returned to me, unchanged, undamaged. Leo straightened. I held on to him, begged him to stay with me. "Hush," Pop said, "there's work to be done." I stood from my bed, beside Maddie, Marie, and Terrace, adjusted eyes, seeing more clearly, and watched Leo walk toward Pop. Mom and Patsy stood a step behind Pop at the doorway. Leo moved over the floor with familiarity, his arms reaching to Mom, her embrace of him natural and complete. He left us, sisters, in his former bedroom, all of us witness to what we once thought impossible. Another set of footsteps, Louis' sleepy voice asking, "What's going on?" Then, unbridled joy among Pop's urgent pleas for quiet, clasping of hands, deep thumps of pats on backs, and more pats on backs, Louis would have hugged Leo forever, as I would have, if Pop didn't move our lives along. "Mom and I need to take Leo to his new bedroom now," he said. Footsteps moved away, the glow of the flashlight all but gone at the door. "Prayers and sleep," Terrace said. Although my lips moved, I said nothing and instead concentrated on the voices within my former bedroom. "Always stay away from the window, even at night with the blackout cloth. Through the armoire, here is the secret door to the straw storage over the pig barn. You stay in this room and keep the door locked. There's a bell under the floor the rest of us can ring from the Kuma room. I've hidden the bell's pull string among the fuse box wiring. Hear that, or Flocky's howl, or any other warning, even the sound of a car engine, and don't wait a second. Go through immediately and shake the clothes back together. Close the trap door, lock the clasps from inside. The straw should protect you if the Nazis search the storage area above the barn. We'll be piling up more and more to the rafters if we can. Stay there and don't move at all until..." Pop went on, pausing, then spoke more possibilities. Leo interrupted. "You shouldn't risk the family just for me." "Just?" Mom said. "I'm only one." "Son," Pop said, "could you ever fight for them?" "You know I couldn't." "When the time came and refused to fight, what would they do to you?" Shuffling over the floor. "You know what they would do," Mom said. Leo spoke all our names, reverent, as though he prayed at our feet. "Especially Henriette," he said. "She's so young. With me here, we may all die." "We may all live," Mom said. "You don't know that." "Think carefully," Pop said. "We've risked our lives hiding food to give away. Why do we do that?" "People from the steel mill towns are starving," Leo said. "But they're strangers to us," Mom said. "Whether they're strangers shouldn't matter," Leo said. "Of course not. Now think of me and Mom, your brothers and sisters. How could the rest of us stand to know our hearts still beat if we never tried to save yours?" Scrapes over the floor, pacing. "All right," Leo said, "maybe this could work." The door to our old bedroom closed. Pop stood at our new bedroom doorway, his face over his flashlight deep orange as though reflecting the final glows of embers. "In many ways," he said, "this is just beginning." I asked, "Leo will be here in the morning?" "Yes," Pop said. "Sunrise will come and Leo will still be in your old bedroom." "That's all I need to know for now." Pop's lips parted, appearing ready to speak his worries. Instead, he coughed and stroked his mustache. "All right," he said, and padded toward his bedroom, the glow from his flashlight dimming to black.